Well, Deuteronomy chapter 9 is where we're going to be at tonight. And I want to bring to you the message that God put on my heart. When preacher called me back last fall, I believe it was, to ask me to preach, I began as I read my daily Bible. Of course, God gives him messages and things like that. And I think it was probably in January that the Lord, when I read these verses, God spoke to me, and I began developing the message for tonight. And I know this is exactly the message God wants to have for us tonight. So Deuteronomy chapter 9, if you find your place. By the way, let me say this real quick. It's good to have some of my family here that I haven't seen in a while. And my great aunt and uncles, good to see them. Appreciate them coming out tonight also. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 9, if you find your place, if you'll stand with me. And we're going to read the first three verses of Deuteronomy chapter 9. The scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you speak to us tonight, God. Lord, it's been a wonderful week, Lord. A lot of great messages have been preached. And Lord, as we close this meeting out tonight, I pray that your word would go forth. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this service tonight. And we ask that you'd be very active in our midst. I pray that you'd speak to us, help us, God. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know the story. Brother Daniel filled us in quite a bit the other night, and praise the Lord. I was getting a little nervous when he was preaching. I'm like, "Come on, brother, don't go there, don't go there." No, I'm just, no, that was a great message. And he talked about Israel and how God delivered them from Egypt in a miraculous way. And God took them through the wilderness to give them the law, fight the battles, get them ready to enter the promised land. You know, the whole process from the departure of Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, where they were to go into the land, was basically a little over a year's time. But unfortunately, because of them getting their eyes on the giants of the land, and instead of trusting in the promises of God, they wandered another 40 years until the generation of doubters and deniers died out. So here we are 40 years later. Moses is delivering the last bit of commands and challenges before Joshua takes over and leads them into Canaan. And I want to bring you the message tonight, I just want to give you three quick observations from the verses we read. First of all, I want you to notice that they were going to be involved in something greater than themselves. You see what it said there in verse 1 and 2? "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" You know what God was about ready to say to them is that I'm going to take you in, and I'm going to show you things that you haven't seen up to this point. Now, second observation, they had to fight the enemies of the past. If you remember back to Numbers 13, and I won't go back and read that, but the reason that their forefathers had to die in the wilderness is because they come across these Anakims, these giants, and they were afraid to deal with the giants of the land. So God brings them right back to the place where the forefathers left off and said, "Guess what? The enemy's not going away. You got to deal with it." And then I thought this was interesting. Their crossing into Canaan took place in their fourth decade. You know, as this generation is getting ready to begin God's will for their life and further his kingdom, you know, some of the things that were true for them are also true for us today. You know, we too, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are involved in some things greater than ourselves. I mean, folks, listen, the cause of Christ and the battle for the souls of mankind is a task far above which we can accomplish in our own power. We too are fighting the same old enemies that have plagued mankind since God started this thing back in Eden. We all have to deal with the Anakims, and those things, those giants must be dealt with. And just as they reached the point of crossing Jordan, by the way, you know what that represents? A victorious Christian life. It means victory. It's mean going in and being what God wants you to be. They reached it in their fourth decade. Here we stand in the midst of the fourth decade of this church and ministry. And tonight I want to preach a message entitled this, "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Why the best years of this church could still be ahead." Why the best years of this church could still be ahead. as we stand on the brink of our Jordan and the future we look, I want to encourage you tonight, especially those that are a part of my generation and the young people coming up behind us, to take courage as Christians. Join the fight, because when it comes to what God's going to do in this church and all the churches represented here tonight, you better put your seatbelt on, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? Three reasons why I believe this church's best days could still be ahead. Number one, if they remember the foundation that was laid. If they remember the foundation that was laid. You know, when we look back to the prior 40 years of the nation of Israel before they're at the point of the promised land, some pretty important things happened that prepared them for what they were about to do. There were some foundations in their lives that God laid. We go all the way back to Egypt, and the first foundation we see is the foundation of salvation. You know that deliverance from Egypt is a picture of being saved? We know that because on that last blood, or that last plague, what delivered them from that last plague was the blood. Amen? By the way, I appreciate that song that Brother John and his wife sang tonight. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, I know the crowd I'm preaching to tonight, but if you want to be part of that generation that sees things that's never been seen before, you better make sure you got your salvation settled. Amen? You know, I'm afraid too many Christians are only playing a game. By the way, let me say this, folks. Eternity's nothing to play with. You know, there's a reason Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. And I wonder how many, quote, Christians are sitting in the pews of churches who Jesus looks at and said, yeah, I see what you're doing, but I never knew you. Amen? So I'm just saying, if you want to be part of the generation where God can say, get ready, you ain't seen nothing yet, make sure you have the matter of salvation settled in your life. Amen? So the foundation of salvation we see in their past. Not only that, the foundation of the Scripture. Yeah, I know, right? Every preacher this week's mentioned it. Well, maybe the reason God's allowed to be talked about so much this week, because it's important, amen? Let me say, the Word of God is important, and it ought to have a prominent place in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms 138, verse 2, this is amazing, that God has magnified His Word above His own name. Now, folks, let me tell you something. God's name's important, amen? When God gave the Ten Commandments, by the way, we know that's the foundation for the law of God, but the Ten Commandments, God could have put anything He wanted to in there. You know, He spent a whole commandment dealing with how we better reverence His name, amen? And not only that, He put a special curse upon those who take His name in vain. Listen, God's name's important, all right? It's at the name of Jesus one of these days every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He's God, amen? So yeah, His name's important, but you know what God says? I've chosen to magnify my word above mine own name. Did you ever wonder why God took them through the wilderness the way He did? You know it wasn't the most direct route. You knew that? You know He took them that way because in order for them to enter the promised land, they had to get their marching orders. Amen? And praise the Lord, He loved His people enough to give them a way to know exactly what He wanted for them to do. A standard for which He expected them to live by. And the reason they could go in and conquer a heathen land, the reason they were going to be able to say, we ain't seen nothing yet. You know why? Because they had the foundation of the Scriptures. Now fast forward to 2018. To a church that God has allowed to see great things in their past, but yet I believe is on the brink of seeing greater things in their future. I can tell you one thing and one thing for sure. If the foundation of the old King James Bible is ever forsaken, game over. Game over. Amen? Listen, folks, there no more great things, no more accomplishing great feats for God, no more being relevant in the midst of a heathen world. This church has stood on this book, the King James Word of God, for the last 45 years, and if it's going to go forth and see greater things, the foundation better stay here, amen? It better stay here. And by the way, this book's worth fighting for, amen? And by the way, let me say this, it matters. It matters what Bible you use, because there's only one. It's called the King James. Amen? So we see the foundation of salvation. We see the foundation of the scripture. Not only that, we see the foundation of separation. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2, it says this. And at that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So yes, it began at salvation. No doubt they had to have the law of God. But in order for them to be set apart, to be in the place, to see God do things they'd never seen before, they had to be sold out and separated for the task. By the way, why does it say being circumcised a second time? Well, the next verse answers that. It says in Joshua 5:5, now all the people had come out and were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, then they had not circumcised. You know what he's trying to teach us here? Is that the separation of the old generation wasn't good enough for the next. It had to be chosen and embraced for themselves. Now, I'm thankful to have been raised and been a part of a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And no, despite the rumors going around the community, all right, ushers don't stand at the door and run people off for not dressing a certain way, all right? That's never happened and never will happen, okay? Nor is it true, even though we've been accused of this, that we tie up kids and lock them in closets in the basement, all right? Well, most kids we don't do that to, all right? Now listen, folks, okay? There's a lot of foolishness and nonsense that goes on. But that being said, let me say this. We have had a foundation that's been laid of good old-fashioned, no apologizing for, ain't afraid to preach and teach holiness and separation. And I'm glad I was raised under a pastor who wasn't afraid of me or afraid of anybody else in the congregation, and he wasn't afraid to draw a line and tell us that we ought to be separate from the world. Listen to me, church. That's our heritage. That's our foundation. But here's the thing. If the next generation is going to see what the old generation saw and see things that they've never seen before, you know what? We had better get a hold of the fact of separation and make it our own. By the way, why do we do what we do and don't do the things we do? I mean, the things that people accuse us of being crazy for, the things they accuse us of being a cult for, why do we live that certain way? I mean, why do I choose to live my life and the stands and different things we take? Is it because my mom and dad told me to? Is it because Pastor Ross expected me to? No, it's because there's a God in heaven who commanded in his word. And even though I'm thankful for what I've been taught, I don't do it for them. I do it because I love him. Amen. I'm doing it for him. Listen, new generation, you better get it. Amen. We better get the word and settle some things because thus saith the Lord. The foundations that have been laid. Are you ready for God to say to you, you ain't seen nothing yet? Are the best years of this church still ahead? Then we better embrace those foundations, amen? So the foundations that have been laid. Number two, in order for us to see things we've never seen before, in order for the best years of this church to be ahead, we must rally behind the right leadership. Rally behind the right leadership. You know when God decided to lead a nation out of Egypt and begin the process of getting them to the point of possessing the promised land, he raised up a man, a human representative to lead in the task. Hebrews chapter 11 says this, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you know what God did? He raised up Moses, amen? And God's plan for his people to accomplish great things always involves human leadership. It was true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament. And all through Scripture, you see God calling men to lead in his work. Now, thank God for the Moses that God gave this church to lead and guide it out of Egypt and through the wilderness of its beginnings. Amen? Thank God for the Moses he gave us. Now, I'm not sure how it all works in heaven, but I just have a sneaking suspicion that God has allowed Pastor Ross and others to peek over the banister and witness what's happened here this week. Amen. We all owe a great debt of gratitude to the man God used to pioneer the work here in Jacksonville, Indiana, that we all enjoy today. I'm so glad that God looked down and saved an old country boy from Fillmore, Indiana. What's Fillmore, Indiana? Well, it's the backside of the desert for southern Indiana. Amen. That's what it is. God raised him up to start and lead this church to what God has allowed her to be. Amen? I don't think there's a person in this room tonight that hasn't been affected by that decision. And I just want to stand here tonight, thank God for the godly Moses he's allowed to influence my life. I don't claim to be some great preacher. I don't claim to be anything. But I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today without the influence of Pastor Robert Ross in my life. You know what, preacher? Down through the years, I've heard a lot of people stand on this platform and even behind this pulpit and pay homage to that man with their mouth. And by the way, they should have. Amen? But you know what? I'm kind of sick and tired of all the lip service. And then people who say they appreciate him go out and live a life exactly opposite of everything he taught us. In his words, that's a bunch of hogwash. Amen? If we really appreciate the sacrifices that he and others made, let's not just say it with their lips, but let's prove it with our lives. Now, you know what? I miss him tremendously. I think of him often. In fact, oftentimes I go to the website, Blessed Hope's website, I pull up a sermon and I listen to him preach. In fact, sounds kind of spooky, he watches me every day. What do you mean? Well, in my office, taped behind me on the cabinet door of my shelf are some pictures. My grandpa Reiser's there. My great-grandparents, Paul and Grace Swartz, who were church planters in Indiana back in the 50s and 60s, are there. My pappy Bo's there. And so is Pastor Robert Ross. You know, I appreciate that Pastor Jerry, when I left here to go to Princeton, he allowed me to take Pastor Ross's office furniture to be my office furniture. I study from the desk he studied from. I even sit in the chair he sat in. And you know what? I have no doubt he used that chair as an altar in the past. What a privilege to be able to kneel and pray in the same place that my hero kneeled and prayed in. In fact, sometimes I get this weird inclination to put on a pair of bibs and go walk around Rule King. All right? I don't know. All right? I'm just saying. It's like, what's going on here? I mean, I just got to go there. All right? Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. The reason this church is celebrating 45 years is because people decided to rally behind the man of God years ago. They decided to get behind the Moses that God raised up and follow him. Amen. But you know what I found in our story here tonight? That it wasn't just Moses. You know, after Moses, God raised up a Joshua. And hey, you know what? As we stand on the brink of Jordan, and God's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me encourage you, rally behind your Joshua. You know, it was Joshua who led them across Jordan to fight Jericho. It was Joshua who led them through the defeat and victory at Ai. It was Joshua called for the moon and the sun to stand still and defeat the five kings that came against the Gibeonites. It was Joshua that led in the initial conquest and defeat so the children of Israel could claim their inheritance. Hey, praise the Lord for our Moses, but it was Joshua who led the people to the point where God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. And you know what, church? You better rally behind him. Amen. And as long as people followed and rallied behind their leadership, they accomplished great and amazing things. By the way, if we'll just follow God's plan, things are going to work. I mean, why do we always think we know better than God? I mean, listen, he's given us the plan. We just need to follow it. But you know, an interesting verse has happened in Judges chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but let me read them to you. The Bible says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Areas in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. Listen to this. Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Are you kidding me? I mean, all it took was one generation from the crossing of Jordan into Jericho, the enemies being defeated and the land claimed, to serve Balaam? Are you kidding me? What in the world happened? Well, the Bible tells us what happened. In Judges chapter 2, verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. And listen who they were following. And followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Hey, you know what? They forsook the Lord and began following these other false gods. By the way, it doesn't say they had a void of leadership. They just didn't have the kind of leadership that would point them to God. Unfortunately, godly leaders like Moses and Joshua, you know what? Have expiration dates. Okay? New leadership has to be put into place. And it's obvious from what was going on, the new generation decided they didn't like men of God like Joshua and Moses, and they were more interested in people telling them what they wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear. No, sir. You know what they wanted? They wanted a skinny jean wearing, rock and roll singing, lispy voice talking, standing behind a plexiglass podium, motivational speaker instead of a man of God. Let me tell you something, new generation. If this church is going to see its best days ahead that you've never seen before, then you better always keep behind this pulpit a sin-hating, devil-fighting, God-fearing, fire-breathing man of God, amen, who ain't afraid to open the book and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, you know what? You got one now, amen? And for the sake of the children in the nursery, for the sake of the young ones growing up around here, you better make sure the next one is too. You know, I've only been a preacher for 20 months. But you know what I found out? Not everybody wants that kind of preacher. What? No. I remember 25 years ago sitting in the basement of this building in a Christian school chapel. Pastor Robert Ross was preaching about being a man of God. And Brother Paul, you were probably in that chapel. He looked at you, he looked at me and a couple other young men who were called to ministry. You know what he did in that chapel service? He called us out. He looked at me and I remember him saying, "Hey, Jonathan, let me ask you something. When you're a preacher one of these days, what are you going to do when people come up to you and start asking you to do things opposite of the Word of God? Are you going to stand or are you going to cave?" Called me out. I never forget it. Amen. He told us things that we needed as men of God. If we were going to be what God wanted us to be, we had to take stands and we had to do right. And you know what? As always, the man of God was right. Already in the last 20 months, I've had people leave our church because of the things that I preach that the Bible says. I've had some of them try to caution me about preaching things that might offend people. I've even been told that they just don't understand why I'm always preaching about soul winning, missions, and it's our job to reach the lost people for Christ. I mean, almost like an accusation. You just talk about that all the time. Yep, guilty as charged. Amen. I do talk about it all the time. Now listen, I don't believe preaching ought to be mean, caustic, rude, or degrading. I don't believe that one bit. But let me say this. I'm not interested in tickling ears and warming hearts. Amen. It's my job and every God-called, Spirit-filled preacher's job to preach what the Bible says, not what man wants to hear. Amen. Let me just say this. When you have the right kind of leadership, if you want to see things you've never seen before, you better rally behind that leadership. And let me say this, parents. You better teach your children to rally behind that leadership. Amen. Let me say, I'm not saying up here tonight leadership's perfect, because we're not. You study the life of Moses and Joshua, you're going to find flaws, all right? But if you've got a God-called, Spirit-filled man of God that leads your church, listen, get behind him and have his back, amen? And you know what I'm thankful for? God at White River Baptist Church has given me people just like that. God's gifted me with folks that, you know what, that they put up with being spite of me, amen? And they love me and they support me. You know what? That's what preachers need. Amen. They don't need people going home having them for dinner. That's not what they need. They need people willing to follow them and follow them to the gates in hell, to the gates of hell and back. Amen. Because that's what we're trying to do as a church of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to see things you've never seen before, if you want God to say you ain't seen nothing yet, if this church still has its best days ahead, then you better remember the foundation that's been laid. You better rally behind the right leadership. And number three and last of all tonight, you better reside in the fight. You better reside in the fight. You know what's very interesting from our text and from every other previous battle that was fought, that you know what? You know what you find out as you read those different texts? You find that when it's in the midst of the battle is when God shows up and performs some of the greatest miracles. I mean, listen, folks, we're talking about ain't seen nothing yet. We're talking about things we've never seen before. You know what was in the battle that the walls of Jericho fell? You know what was in the battle that the sun and the moon stood still? You know what was in the battle that God sent the hailstones and smote the enemy? It was in the battle that the earthquakes came. It was in the battle that the giants were slain. It was in the battle that God showed up and did the miraculous. And let me tell you, the people who God is always there to be and back, you know who it is? It ain't the ones sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. It's always those involved in the battle. You see, the problem with most Christians today, they want the miracles without the battle. That's what they want. They want God to show up and make everything perfect in their life, but they're not out there doing anything for God. Amen? That's when God shows himself strong, is those who are willing to get out and fight. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I've told our church this, and we're starting to experience this a little bit. But you know what? You got the type of preachers, and all the preachers in this room are those type of preachers who like stirring the nest, amen? Let me tell you something. With our type of preaching, the things we try to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're ticking the devil off. By the way, I don't get nervous when the devil isn't fighting me. Let me tell you, when he's fighting me, I get nervous when he doesn't fight me. Because if he's not fighting me, I'm probably not doing what I ought to be doing, amen? And you got the type of churches who are going out trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got the type of churches that were trying to stand for right and do right. Now listen, if that's the case, there's going to be some battles. There's going to be, I can guarantee you there's going to be some battles. In fact, it's not even going to be a month from now. Probably when you get home tonight, the battle's going to start. I guarantee you there's going to be battles tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And you know what? If you're involved in the right type of church, until the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes, there's going to be battles. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen? How about it, church? Are you ready to see things you've never seen before? I mean, come on. I mean, anybody can live the same old Christian life. Anybody can have their fire insurance, all right? But let me just say this. You don't want to get to heaven and face your Savior empty-handed. And by the way, we are going to face him. Yeah? Ignoring it doesn't change the fact of the matter. Not thinking about it doesn't mean you're not going to have to stand before him. I'm telling you, every single born-again Christian will stand before the Savior and get an account of our stewardship. Amen? You're not going to want to get there empty-handed. You're going to want to be able to have some things you've brought with you. By the way, what's the only thing you're going to bring? You know what it is? Things that are eternal. What are things that are eternal? The souls of mankind. That's what's eternal. Amen? So listen, church. Are you ready? Are you ready for what God's going to do? I mean, do you want to say we ain't seen nothing yet? Are the best years of this church still ahead? They can be if we remember the foundation that's been laid. If we rally behind the right leadership, and if we reside in the fight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord, for the what you've done in this town, in this community. What a miracle. Thank you for all the churches represented here this week, God. And I believe you're doing some of these things. But God, there's so much more you want to do. God, help us to be willing to be able to put ourselves in that position to see those types of things. And Lord, I don't know when you're coming, but I know you're coming soon. And I pray that when you come, God, and that trumpet sounds, it'll get us out of here as we're fighting for you. Bless us now, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for how good and great you are. In Jesus' name, amen.